Time Warner Audiobooks presents Return of the Jedi. At the feathered edge of the galaxy, the Death Star floated in stationary orbit above the green moon Endor. An Imperial Star Destroyer approached the giant space station at cruising speed. It was accompanied by dozens of twin ion engine fighters, black insect-like combat flyers that zipped back and forth around the battleship's perimeter. Soundlessly, the main bay of the ship opened. There was a brief ignition flash as an Imperial shuttle emerged from the hold into the darkness of space. It sped toward the half-completed Death Star with quiet purpose. In the cockpit, the shuttle captain and his co-pilot made final readings and monitored descent functions. The captain flipped the transmitter switch and spoke into his mouthpiece.
Command station. This is ST-321. Code clearance blue. We're starting our approach. Deactivate the security shield.
Static filtered over the receiver. Then came the voice of the port controller.
The security deflector shield will be deactivated when we have confirmation of your code transmission. Stand by.
The shuttle captain bit the inside of his cheek and smiled nervously at his co-pilot. In the control room of the Death Star below, the shield operator suddenly checked his monitor with alarm. The view screen depicted the battle station itself, the moon Endor, and a web of energy, the deflector shield, emanating from the green moon, encompassing the Death Star. Only now, the security web was beginning to separate, to retract, and form a clear channel through which the dot that was the Imperial shuttle sailed, unimpeded, toward the massive space station. The shield operator quickly called his control officer over to the viewscreen.
That shuttle has a Class 1 priority ranking.
He tried to replace the fear in his voice with disbelief. The officer glanced at the viewscreen and spoke to himself. Vader. He strode past the viewport, where the shuttle could be seen, already making its final approach. He turned to the controller.
Inform the commander that Lord Vader's shuttle has arrived.
The shuttle sat quietly, dwarfed by the cavernous reaches of the huge docking bay. Hundreds of troops stood assembled in formation, flanking the base of the shuttle ramp. White-armored Imperial stormtroopers, gray-suited officers, and the elite red-robed Imperial Guard. They snapped to attention as Moff Gergerod entered. Gergerod, tall, thin, arrogant, was the Death Star commander. He walked without hurry up the ranks of soldiers to the shuttle. The exit hatch of the shuttle opened, pulling the troops in formation to even tauter attention. Only darkness glowed from the exit at first. Then, footsteps.
Then, the characteristic electrical respirations, like the breathing of a machine. And finally, Darth Vader, Lord of the Sith, emerged from the void. Vader strode down the ramp, looking over the assemblage. He stopped when he came to Zhurjarod. The commander bowed and smiled.
Lord Vader, this is an unexpected pleasure. We are honored by your presence.
We can dispense with the pleasantries, Commander. The Emperor is concerned with your progress. I am here to put you back on schedule.
Zhurjarod turned pale.
I assure you, Lord Vader, my men are working as fast as they can.
Perhaps I can encourage their progress in ways you have not considered, Vader growled.
That won't be necessary, my lord. I tell you without question, this station will be operational as planned.
I'm afraid the Emperor does not share your optimistic appraisal of the situation.
I fear he asks the impossible.
Perhaps you could explain that to him when he arrives.
Zhurjarod's pallor intensified.
The Emperor is coming here?
Yes, Commander. And he will be quite displeased if you are still behind schedule.
We shall double our efforts, Lord Vader.
I hope so, Commander. The Emperor will tolerate no further delay in the final destruction of the Outlaw Rebellion. The Rebel fleet has gathered all its forces into a single giant armada. The time is at hand when we can crush them without mercy in a single blow.
For the briefest second, Vader's breathing seemed to quicken. Then it resumed its measured pace, like the rising of a hollow wind.
Fine sand blew hard over the dunes of Tatooine. The little R2 unit called R2-D2 whistled and beeped.
Of course I'm worried, C-3PO fussed. Poor Lando Calrissian never returned from this place. Can you imagine what they've done to him?
R2 whistled timidly.
The golden droid waded stiffly through a shifting sandhill, his little friend rolling along at his side. Jabba's palace loomed in the near distance. Massive iron doors, part of several gigantic cylindrical towers, seemed to rise out of a mountain of sand. C-3PO mustered his resolve, knocked softly on the thick metal grate, then quickly announced to R2,
"There doesn't seem to be anyone here. Let's go back and tell Master Luke."
3PO turned away.
Suddenly, a small hatch opened in the center of the door. A spindly mechanical arm popped out, and a large electronic eyeball peered unabashedly at the two droids. The eyeball spoke.
"Te-chota, te-hot-yod."
3PO stood erect, though his circuits quivered a bit. He faced the eye, pointed to R2, and then to himself.
R2-D2-a, bo-C-3PO-sha, e-tuta-ad-mishka-jabba-duhat.
The eye looked quickly from one robot to the other, then retracted back through the little window and slammed the hatch shut. R2 whistled with concern.
3PO nodded. "I don't think they're going to let us in, R2. We'd better go."
He turned to leave. At that, the massive iron door began to rise. The two droids looked at each other skeptically, then into the yawning black cavity that faced them. From the shadows, the strange voice of the eye screamed,
"Nodja!"
R2 beeped and rolled forward into the gloom. 3PO hesitated, then rushed after his stubby companion.
"R2, wait for me!"
The great door slammed shut behind them. For a moment, the two frightened robots stood there without moving. Then, haltingly, they stepped forward. Three Gamorrean guards, pig-like brutes whose racial hatred of robots was well known, ushered the two droids down the dark corridor. When they reached the first half-lit hallway, a form approached them from a cross-corridor. Bib Fortuna, the inelegant major of Jabba's degenerate court.
Fortuna was a tall, humanoid creature with eyes that saw only what was necessary and a robe that hid all. From the back of his skull protruded two fat, tentacular appendages that exhibited prehensile, sensual, and cognitive functions. He smiled thinly as he stopped before the two robots.
Diwanawanga,
3PO spoke up officially.
Diwanawanaga, we bring a message to your master, Jabba the Hutt.
R2 beeped a postscript.
And a gift,
3PO added. He looked puzzled and whispered to R2.
Gift? What gift?
Bib shook his head emphatically.
Ni Jabba no bada. Me chata su goody.
He held out his hand toward R2. The small droid backed up, whistling and beeping.
R2, give it to him,
3PO insisted. R2 beeped and tooted in defiance. 3PO smiled apologetically at Bib.
He says our master's instructions are to give it only to Jabba himself.
Bib gestured for them to follow.
Nod cha.
He walked back into the darkness, the droids following close behind. C-3PO muttered to the silent R2 unit.
R2, I have a bad feeling about this.
C-3PO and R2-D2 stood at the entrance of the throne room, looking in.
We're doomed, whimpered 3PO.
The room was filled, wall to cavernous wall, with the animate dregs of the universe. Grotesque creatures from the lowest star systems. In the front of the room, reclining on a dais that overlooked the debauchery, was Jabba the Hutt. His head was 3 times human size, perhaps 4. His eyes were yellow. Reptilian, his skin was like a snake's, except covered with a fine layer of grease. His wide, lipless mouth drooled continuously. He was thoroughly disgusting. Chained to him at the neck was a sad, pretty dancing girl, a member of Fortuna's species, with 2 dry, shapely tentacles sprouting from the back of her head. Her name was Ula. Looking forlorn, she sat as far away as her chain would allow. Sitting near Jabba's belly was a small, monkey-like reptile named Salacious Crumb. Shafts of light from above partially illuminated the drunken courtiers as Bib Fortuna crossed the floor to the dais and whispered into the slobbering monarch's ear. Jabba's eyes became slits. Then, with a maniacal laugh, he motioned for the 2 terrified droids to be brought in. The quaking robots scooted forward to stand before the repulsive ruler.
The message, R2, the message, 3PO urged.
R2 whistled once, and a beam of light projected from his domed head, creating a hologram of Luke Skywalker.
Greetings, exalted one, the hologram said to Jabba. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Luke Skywalker, Jedi Knight, and friend of Captain Solo. I seek an audience with your greatness. To bargain for Solo's life.
The entire room burst into laughter, which Jabba instantly stopped with a hand motion.
I'm sure we can work out an arrangement which will be mutually beneficial. As a token of my goodwill, I present to you a gift. These 2 droids.
3PO jumped back as if stung.
What? Luke continued. Both are hard-working and will serve you well.
With that, the hologram disappeared.
3PO wagged his head in despair.
This can't be, R2. You must have played the wrong message.
Jabba laughed and drooled. Bib spoke in Huttese.
Bargain rather than fight? He is no Jedi.
Jabba nodded in agreement. Still grinning, he rasped at 3PO.
There will be no bargain. I have no intention of giving up my favorite decoration.
With a hideous chuckle, he looked toward the dimly lit alcove beside the throne. There, hanging flat against the wall, was the carbonized form of Han Solo.
his face and hands emerging out of the cold, hard slab like a statue reaching from a sea of stone. R2 and 3PO marched dismally through the dank passageway at the prodding of a Gamorrean guard. Dungeon cells lined both walls. R2 beeped pitifully. 3PO only shook his head.
Oh, what could have possibly come over Master Luke? Was it something I did? He never expressed any unhappiness with my work.
They approached a door at the end of the corridor. It slid open automatically, and the Gamorrean shoved them forward. Inside, they were assaulted by deafening machine sounds and a continuously shifting haze of steam. An agonized electronic scream drew their attention to the corner of the room, where a droid hanging upside down was having red-hot irons applied to its feet. Eve 99, a thin, human-like robot, stopped in front of 3PO.
"Ah, new acquisitions," she said with great satisfaction. "I am Eve 99, chief of cyborg operations. You're a protocol droid, aren't you?"
"Yes," 3PO replied.
"How many languages do you speak?"
99 continued.
"I am fluent in over 6 million forms of communication and can..."
"Splendid," 99 interrupted gleefully. "We have been without an interpreter since the Master got angry with something our last protocol droid said and disintegrated him."
"Disintegrated?"
3PO wailed.
99 spoke to a pig guard who suddenly appeared.
"This one will be quite useful. Fit him with a restraining bolt, then take him back up to the main audience chamber."
The guard grunted and roughly shoved 3PO toward the door. R2 let out a long, plaintive cry as 3PO was removed. Then he turned to 9D9 and beeped in outrage. 9D9 laughed.
You're a feisty little one, but you'll soon learn some respect. I have need of you on the Master's sail barge.
The court of Jabba the Hutt roiled in malignant ecstasy. Ula, the beautiful creature chained to Jabba, danced center floor as the inebriated monsters cheered and heckled. 3PO hovered warily near the back of the throne, trying to keep the lowest profile possible. Jabba leered and beckoned the creature Ula to come sit beside him. She stopped dancing instantly, a fearful look in her eye. Apparently, she had suffered such invitations before. Jabba pointed unmistakably to a spot beside him on the dais.
"Da, Aether,"
he growled. Ula shook her head violently, her face a mask of terror.
"Na, Chuba Negatori, Nana, na, Tuta."
"Baska."
Furious, Jabba released Ula's chain and pushed a button. Before she could flee, a grating trap door in the floor dropped open and she tumbled into the pit below. The door snapped shut. Instantly. A moment of silence, followed by a low, rumbling roar, followed by a terrified shriek, was followed once more by silence. Jabba laughed until he slobbered. Bib Fortuna made his way through the crowd, accompanied by 2 Gamorrean guards. A cloaked and helmeted bounty hunter followed them, leading his captive prize on a leash. Chewbacca, the Wookiee. 3PO gasped, stunned.
"Oh, no! Chewbacca!"
Bib muttered a few words into Jabba's ear, pointing to the bounty hunter and his captive. Jabba listened intently. The bounty hunter was humanoid, small and mean. An eye slit in his helmet mask gave the impression of his being able to see through things. He bowed low, then spoke in fluent Ubiz.
"Greetings, majestic one. I am Boosh."
Jabba answered in the same tongue, though his Ubiz was stilted and slow.
"At last, someone has brought me the mighty Chewbacca.
He tried to continue, but stuttered on the word he wanted.
"Where's my talk droid?"
he boomed, motioning 3PO to come closer. Reluctantly, The courtly robot obeyed. Jabba ordered him congenially.
Welcome our mercenary friend, and ask his price for the Wookiee.
3PO translated the message to the bounty hunter. Boosh listened carefully, simultaneously studying possible exits, possible hostages, vulnerable points. He noticed Boba Fett near the door, the steel-masked mercenary who had caught Han Solo. Boosh assessed this all in a moment, then spoke evenly in his native tongue to 3PO.
I will take 50,000, no less.
3PO quietly translated for Jabba, who immediately became enraged and knocked the golden droid off the raised throne with his tail. 3PO struggled back onto the throne, composed himself, and translated for Boosh. 25,000 is all he'll pay, 3PO instructed. Jabba motioned his pig guards to take Chewbacca. Jabba added to 3PO's translation.
25,000 plus his life.
3PO translated. The room was silent, tense. Finally, Boosh spoke softly to 3PO.
Tell that swollen garbage bag he'll have to do better than that, or they'll be picking his smelly hide out of every crack in this room. I'm holding a thermal detonator.
Boosh held a small silver ball, partially concealed in his left hand. It hummed ominously.
Oh, dear, 3PO fretted. Boosh respectfully disagrees with your exaltedness and begs you to reconsider the amount, or he will release the thermal detonator he is holding.
Instantly, everyone backed up several feet. Jabba stared malevolently at the bounty hunter for several long seconds. Then, slowly, a satisfied grin crept over his vast, ugly mouth.
This bounty hunter is my kind of scum. Fearless and inventive. Tell him 35, no more, and warn him not to press his luck.
3PO felt greatly relieved by this turn of events. He translated for Boosh. Boosh released a switch on the thermal detonator, and it went dead.
The bus,
he nodded.
He agrees,
3PO said to Jabba. The crowd cheered. Jabba relaxed.
Come, my friend, join our celebration. I may find other work for you.
3PO translated as the party resumed in depraved revelry. Chewbacca growled under his breath as he was led away by the Gamorreans. Near the door, he spotted a familiar face. Hidden behind a half-mask of pit boar teeth and the uniform of a skiff guard was Lando Calrissian. Chewbacca gave no sign of recognition, nor did he resist the guard who now escorted him from the room. Boosh leaned against a column, surveying the scene. His gaze swept coolly over the court until it came to rest squarely on an equally unflappable stare from across the room. Boba Fett was watching him. Boosh shifted slightly, but Boba remained motionless, an arrogant sneer all but visible behind his ominous mask. Pig guards led Chewbacca through the unlit dungeon corridor. Before Chewie fully realized what was happening, he was hurled forcefully into a cell. He let out a long, pitiful howl. The throne room was quiet and empty as night filled its littered corners. Blood, wine, and saliva stained the floor. Unconscious bodies were curled under broken furniture. The party was over. A dark figure moved among the shadows. This was Boosh, the bounty hunter. He reached the slab, which was Han Solo. Boosh looked around furtively, then flipped a switch near the side of the carbonite coffin. Boosh stepped up and touched Solo's carbonized cheek curiously, as if it were a rare, precious stone. For a few seconds, he examined the controls at the side of the slab. Then he activated a series of switches. Slowly, the hard shell covering the contours of Solo's face started to melt away. Soon, the coating was gone from the entire front of Solo's body, freeing his upraised hands to fall slackly to his sides. His face relaxed into what looked like a death mask. Boosh extracted the lifeless body from its casing and lowered it gently to the floor. He leaned his gruesome helmet close to Solo's face, listening closely for signs of life. No breath. No pulse. Then, with a start, Han's eyes suddenly snapped open, and he began to cough. Boosh tried to quiet him. There were guards who might hear. Han squinted up at the dim form above him. I can't see. What's happening? He was, understandably, disoriented, after having been in suspended animation for 6 of this desert planet's months. He batted his hand in front of his face. Boosh tried to reassure him. You're free of the carbonite and have hibernation sickness. Your eyesight will return in time. Come, we must hurry if we're to leave this place. Reflexively, Han grabbed the bounty hunter. I'm not going anywhere. I don't even know where I am. He began sweating profusely as his heart once again churned blood. Who are you, anyway? He demanded suspiciously. The bounty hunter pulled the helmet away from his head, revealing underneath the beautiful face of Princess Leia. One who loves you, she whispered, taking his face tenderly in her still-gloved hands and kissing him long on the lips. Suddenly, a repulsive squishing sound became all too obvious behind them. Leia looked up to the alcove beyond, and her gaze turned to an expression of horror. A gallery composed of the most disgusting miscreants of Jabba's court gawked at them. Leia's hand shot up to her mouth. What is it? Han pressed, staring into his own blackness. An obscene Hutt's cackle rose from the other side of the alcove. Han held his head. I know that laugh.
My, my, what a touching sight, Jabba purred. Han, my boy, your taste in companions has improved, even if your luck has not.
Listen, Jabba, Han said. I was on my way back to pay you when I got a little sidetracked. Now, I know we've had our differences, but I'm sure we can work this out.
It's too late for that, Solo.
He cut short his smile and gestured to his guards.
Take him.
Guards grabbed Leia and Han. They dragged the Corellian pirate off. Leia continued struggling where she was.
Lando took hold of Leia and attempted to lead her away. Jabba stopped him.
Wait. Bring her to me.
Lando and Leia halted in mid-stride. Lando looked tense, uncertain what to do. I'll be all right, Leia whispered. He dragged the young princess to Jabba.
We have powerful friends, Jabba. You will soon regret this.
I'm sure,
the old gangster rumbled with glee.
But in the meantime, I will thoroughly enjoy the pleasure of your company.
Han was thrown roughly into a dungeon cell. After a few moments of pounding the ground with his fist, he quieted down and tried to organize his thoughts. Then he heard a low, formidable snarl from the corner of the cell. The growl of a large and angry beast. Han was totally motionless for several long seconds. He couldn't believe his ears.
Chewie, is that you?
The giant Wookiee barked with joy. Han reached up and scratched his partner's chest. Chewie cooed like a pup. Here was unbelievably good fortune, his most loyal friend in the galaxy. The iron main gate of Jabba's palace scraped open. Standing outside in the dusty gale was Luke Skywalker. He was clad in the robe of the Jedi Knight, but bore neither gun nor lightsaber.
Resolutely, Luke strode into the arching hallway. Almost immediately, two Gamorreans blocked his path.
No, Chuba!
Luke raised his hand and pointed at the guards. Before either could draw a weapon, they both clutched their own throats and, choking, fell to their knees. Luke lowered his hand and walked on. Around the next corner, Luke was met by Bib Fortuna.
You must be the one called Skywalker. His Excellency will not see you.
I will speak to Jabba now, Luke spoke evenly.
The great Jabba is asleep, Bib explained. He has instructed me to tell you there will be no bargains.
Luke stopped suddenly and locked eyes with Bib. He raised his hand slightly.
You will take me to Jabba now.
Bib paused, tilted his head a fraction.
What were his instructions?
Oh, yes.
I will take you to Jabba now.
He turned and walked down the twisting corridor that led to the throne chamber. Luke followed him into the gloom. Luke and Bib entered Jabba's court and approached the throne. He saw Leia seated there by Jabba's belly. She was chained at the neck and dressed in the skimpy costume of a dancing girl. Luke could feel her pain immediately, but shut her anguish out of his mind, for he needed to focus his attention entirely on Jabba. 3PO peeked out from behind the throne.
Ah, at last Master Luke's come to take me away from all this, he beamed.
Bib stood proudly before Jabba.
Master, I present Luke Skywalker, Jedi Knight.
I told you not to admit him, the gangster slug growled in Huttese.
I must be allowed to speak, Luke said.
He must be allowed to speak,
Bib concurred thoughtfully. Jabba, furious, bashed Bib across the face.
You weak-minded fool. He's using an old Jedi mind trick.
Luke let Jabba fill his mind totally. You will bring Captain Solo and the Wookiee to me. Jabba smiled grimly.
Your mind powers will not work on me, boy. I was killing your kind when being a Jedi meant something.
Luke altered his stance somewhat, internally and externally. Nevertheless, I am taking Captain Solo and his friends. You can either profit from this or be destroyed. I warn you not to underestimate my powers. Jabba laughed the laugh of a lion cautioned by a mouse.
There will be no bargain, young Jedi. I shall enjoy watching you die.
Luke raised his hand. A pistol jumped out of the holster of a nearby guard and landed snugly in the Jedi's palm. He pointed the weapon at Jabba. Jabba spat.
Bashka!
The floor suddenly dropped away, sending Luke and his guard crashing into the pit below. The trapdoor immediately closed again. All the beasts of the court rushed to the floor grating and looked down. Luke! Yelled Leia. She started forward, but was held in check by the manacle around her throat. In the pit below, Luke picked himself up off the floor. He was now in a large cave-like dungeon. Half-chewed animal bones were strewn over the floor. 25 feet above him, he saw the iron grating through which Jabba's repugnant courtiers peered. The guard beside him began to scream as a door in the side of the cave rumbled open. Out of the side passage emerged the giant Rancor. The size of an elephant, it was unformed as a nightmare. Its fangs and claws set all out of proportion. The guard picked up the pistol from where it had fallen and began firing laser bursts at the hideous monster. Ignoring the laser blasts, the beast lumbered toward the hysterical guard and popped him into its slavering jaws, swallowing him in a gulp. The audience above cheered. The monster then started for Luke, but the Jedi Knight leaped 8 meters straight up and grabbed onto the overhead grate. The crowd booed. Hand over hand, Luke traversed the grating, struggling to maintain his grip, Two Jawas ran across the top of the grate, mashing Luke's fingers with their rifle butts. The Rancor poured at Luke from below, but the Jedi dangled just out of reach. Suddenly, Luke released his hold and dropped directly onto the eye of the howling monster. The Rancor screamed in pain, swatting its own face to knock away the agony. It ran in circles, then spotted Luke again and came at him. Luke picked up the long bone of an earlier victim and brandished it before him. The monster grabbed Luke and brought him up to its salivating mouth. At the last moment, though, Luke wedged the bone deep in the Rancor's mouth and jumped to the floor as the beast began to gag. The Rancor flailed about and ran headlong into a wall, starting an avalanche that nearly buried Luke. The crowd clapped in unison. Luke studied the contours of the cave to try to come up with a specific plan. He saw past the monster to a utility door. If only he could get to it. The Rancor, meanwhile, had knocked the bone from its mouth and, enraged, came at Luke. The young Jedi grabbed a large rock and smashed it down on the creature's finger. As the creature howled in pain, Luke ran for the cave door. He reached the doorway, but a heavy barred gate blocked his way. Beyond it, the Rancor's two keepers were eating dinner. Luke turned around to see the monster coming angrily after him. Suddenly, Luke saw the restraining door control panel. He picked up a skull off the floor and hurled it. The panel exploded in a shower of sparks, and the giant iron restraining door came crashing down on the Rancor's head, crushing it like a melon. Those in the audience above gasped as one. They all looked to Jabba, apoplectic with rage. Harshly, he snapped at his guards.
Get him out of there. Bring me Solo and the Wookiee. They will all suffer for this outrage.
In the pit below, Luke stood calmly as several of Jabba's henchmen ran in, clapped him in bonds, and ushered him out. Han and Chewie were led before the steaming Jabba. Han still squinted and stumbled every few feet. With a flurry, several guards, including Lando Calrissian, dragged Luke in. Luke nudged Solo with a smile. Good to see you again, old buddy. Solo's face lit up.
Luke, are you in this mess now, too?
Wouldn't miss it, Skywalker smiled.
Where's Leia? Is she...
Her eyes had been fixed on Han from the moment he'd entered the room. When he spoke of her now, she responded instantly from her place on Jabba's throne.
I'm all right, but I don't know how much longer I can hold off your slobbering friend here.
Suddenly, Jabba shouted,
Talk droid!
With an embarrassed, self-effacing head gesture, 3PO addressed the captives.
His High Exaltedness, the great Jabba the Hutt, has decreed that you are to be terminated immediately.
Now that's good. I hate long waits, Solo said loudly.
Your extreme offense against His Majesty, 3PO went on, demands the most torturous form of death.
No sense in doing things halfway, Solo cracked.
You will be taken to the Dune Sea, where you will be thrown into the great pit of Carcoon.
Han shrugged, then turned to Luke.
Well, that doesn't sound too bad.
The resting place of the Sarlacc. In his belly, you will find a new definition of pain and suffering as you slowly digest for 1,000 years.
Oh, on second thought, we could pass on that, Solo reconsidered. Chewie barked in agreement. Luke smiled.
You should have bargained, Jabba. This is the last mistake you'll ever make.
Jabba chortled evilly.
Take them away.
A loud cheer rose from the crowd as the prisoners were carried off. Leia looked after them with great concern, but when she caught a glimpse of Luke's face, she saw it fixed in a broad, genuine smile. She sighed deeply to expel her doubts. Jabba's giant anti-gravity sail barge glided slowly over the endless dune sea. Its sand-blasted iron hull creaked in the slight breeze, each puff of wind
coughing into two huge sails. Jabba was below decks with most of his court. Alongside the barge, two small skiffs floated in formation. One an escort craft, bearing six scruffy soldiers. The other a gun skiff, containing the prisoners. Han, Chewie, Luke. They were all in bonds and surrounded by armed guards, including Lando Calrissian. Lando remained silent, ready, waiting for an opportunity. Han kept his ear tuned, for his eyes were still useless. C-3PO bumped into a small droid serving drinks. The stubby little droid let out a fluent series of irate beeps and whistles. 3PO looked down in utter relief.
R2, what are you doing here?
R2 chirped.
I can see you're serving drinks, but they're going to execute Master Luke. And if we're not careful, us too.
R2 whistled, a bit nonchalantly as far as 3PO was concerned.
I wish I had your confidence, he replied glumly.
Jabba tugged on the chain attached to Princess Leia's neck.
Don't stray too far, my lovely. Soon you will begin to appreciate me.
He pulled her very near and forced her to drink from his glass. As soon as his attention was diverted, she slid a few feet away from Jabba. They were stopping over a huge sand pit. At the bottom of the deep cone of sand, a repulsive, mucus-lined, pink, membranous hole puckered, its perimeter clustered with three rows of needle-sharp teeth. This was the mouth of the Sarlacc. The prisoner's skiff hovered directly over the pit. An iron plank was extended over the side of the skiff. Two guards shoved Luke gruffly out onto the plank, straight above the orifice in the sand. Luke saw Leia standing at the rail of the big barge and winked. She winked back. Jabba motioned 3PO to his side and mumbled orders to the golden droid.
3PO spoke. His Excellency hopes you will die honorably, but should any of you wish to beg for mercy, Jabba will now listen to your pleas.
Jabba, this is your last chance, shouted Luke. Free us or die.
He shot a quick look to Lando, who moved unobtrusively toward the back of the skiff. The monsters on the barge roared with laughter. Jabba raised his hand, and his minions were quiet.
I'm sure you're right, my young Jedi friend, he smiled. Then he turned his thumb down. Put him in.
The spectators cheered as Luke was prodded to the edge of the plank. He looked up at R2, standing alone by the rail, and flipped the little droid a jaunty salute. At that prearranged signal, a flap slid open in R2's domed head, and a projectile shot high into the air, curving in a gentle arc over the desert. Luke jumped off the plank. A bloodthirsty cheer went up. In less than a second, though, Luke had spun around in free fall and caught the end of the plank with his fingertips. The thin metal catapulted him up. In midair, he flipped and dropped down in the middle of the plank, the spot he'd just left, only now behind the confused guards. Casually, he extended his arm up to his side, palm up, and suddenly his lightsaber, which R2 had shot sailing toward him, dropped neatly into his open hand. With Jedi speed, Luke ignited his sword and attacked the guard at the skiff edge of the plank, sending him screaming overboard into the twitching mouth of the Sarlacc. The other guards swarmed toward Luke. Grimly, he waded into them, lightsaber flashing. Lando grappled with the helmsman, trying to seize the controls of the skiff. The helmsman's laser pistol fired, blasting the nearby panel. The skiff lurched to the side, throwing another guard into the pit, knocking everyone else into a pile on the deck. Luke picked himself up and ran toward the helmsman, lightsaber raised. The helmsman retreated, stumbled, and went over the edge into the maw. Suddenly, a muscled tentacle oozed out of the Sarlacc's mouth and coiled tightly around his ankle, pulling him into the hole with a grotesque slurp. When he saw what was happening, Jabba exploded in a rage, yelling furious commands at those around him. In a moment, there was general uproar. It was during this confusion that Leia acted. She jumped onto Jabba's throne, grabbed the chain which enslaved her, and wrapped it around his bulbous throat. Then she dove off the other side of the support, pulling the chain violently in her grasp. Jabba wildly thrashed, frantically twisting from this least expected of foes. His reptilian eyes bulged as the chain tightened, and his oily tongue flopped from his mouth until he finally lay still, dead weight. Leia set about trying to free herself from the chain at her neck, while outside, the battle raged. Boba Fett ignited his rocket pack and flew down to the skiff just as Luke finished freeing Han and Chewie from their bonds. Boba aimed his laser gun at Luke, but before he could fire, the young Jedi spun around, sweeping his light sword in an arc that sliced the bounty hunter's gun in half. A series of blasts suddenly erupted from the large cannon on the upper deck of the barge, hitting the skiff broadside. Lando was tossed from the deck, but at the last moment he grabbed a broken strut and dangled desperately above the Sarlacc.